Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the Vinnie Chase to my Eric Murphy, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
Whoop, whoop. I have no idea who you just referenced. Are those hockey players?
Vinnie Chase. All right, let's see. You don't know Vinnie Chase. You don't know Eric Murphy. Do you know Turtle or Johnny
Oh,
Drama?
God. It's Entourage references.
Yeah.
Really?
I take it you're not an Entourage fan, even though you're living that Hollywood life, man.
No. It seems like it's like, you know, Douche, the movie.
That was the second, that was the other option for the title.
Yeah.
But they went with Entourage. It is funny, though, that there's a new show coming out on HBO. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a new show called Ballers.
Which is basically Entourage, but for a new generation.
Sports, yeah. But it's just, like, sports agents and with The Rock and Rob Corddry. And it just, yeah, that might be Douche the TV show. But at long last, we have Douche the movie. And I'm so excited for Entourage, man. It's in theaters today. We're taping this on Wednesday, June 3rd. Cannot wait for this movie. Anyway.
All right.
Keith, welcome, as always, to the Pop Shop Podcast. We have a ton to talk about today, including Hot 100, some soon-to-be hits, new Billboard 200 number one album. We are going to touch upon Caitlyn Jenner, because it seems like people are reacting to this in curious ways. And we have an interview with the one and only Jess Glynn, a Grammy winner and co-author of a top 10 hit with Clean Bandit's Rather Be. Now moving on to solo stardom. Her debut album is out in September. She stopped by. She was an absolute blast and learned a lot of fun things about her. So that is coming up later in the show. Keith, how are you feeling today, man?
I'm good. It's an exciting week, I guess.
It is an exciting week.
It's summertime. It's sort of exciting.
Oh, you know what? We ended last week by saying that I was about to embark on my bachelor party.
That's
so now
right.
Back.
Your journey to New Orleans.
My journey to New Orleans. I had a great time. I had a great time with all of my friends. I watched a lot of jazz music, and that's all I got. That's all I can.
What,
that's
was
all
there
I can
a lot
share.
Of? Were there a lot of things that were backed up?
There were a lot of things that were backed up.
Girl, you look good. Won't you back that up?
It's
you're a real fire. Won't you back that up?
No, it's true. It is true.
Dude. I feel like you tweeted something about, like, back that something up.
I listened to a lot of Mystical.
That's why.
New Orleans rapper.
Oh, wait.
Mystical.
Oh, wait.
You're singing Back That Ass Up by Juvenile.
See, but I'm thinking, shake, watch yourself. Yeah. Show them what you're working with. So did you show them what you were working with in New Orleans?
Yeah,
Jason?
I showed New Orleans what I was working with.
I just I'm picturing, like, Jason, like, twerking. Like dropping it low, Nicki Minaj in it.
I heard.
This is just
I will
a
say,
weird
the last,
image.
The last thing is we went out. We went out dancing a lot. I enjoy dancing as much as the next guy.
Oh, we've all seen those Instagrams and Twitters.
We've all seen the Instagrams.
Oh, the BBMA's weekend, the lost weekend for Jason.
And I, as a fan of Fetty Wap's Trap Queen, I was delighted to say that every club in New Orleans was playing Trap Queen nonstop.
Well, that kind
of
makes sense. New Orleans, Trap Queen, it just seems like it goes hand in hand.
It was great. Patterson, New Jersey, all the way down to the Big Easy. Keith, before we get started on this week's Pop Shop Podcast, let me remind listeners that if they never want to miss an episode of the Pop Shop Podcast, which is posted weekly every Thursday morning, why would you subscribe to us on iTunes? We always appreciate that. We also always appreciate a rating or review on iTunes. We've been getting a lot of great feedback in recent weeks. Always appreciate that. Take a couple seconds. We would be greatly indebted. And if you have any questions for us, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I'm at Jason Lipschutz. Keith, are you ready to rock and roll?
Yes, I am.
All right, man.
I'm ready to rock and or roll.
And or roll.
Or roll.
You're ready to roll.
I'm ready to rock. All right.
Let's do it, man. Hot 100, we have a new number one, actually, it's an old number one, but it's back at number one. See You Again, Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth.
It's
back at number one.
It's seen number one again this week. Hey.
It's been a long week without number one, my friend.
It's been a long week. Living in Reseda? Wrong song.
Anyway, Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. which was number one last week. It blasted 52 spots up to number one last week. Gave Taylor Swift her fourth
number one overall, third number one now, from the 1989 album. Yeah.
Now it's number two. Keith, let's break it down, man.
Breakity.
What happened? Is See You Again just too big at radio and Bad Blood still growing?
I don't know what those sounds are. I'm actually looking at the breakdown and points. See You Again is ahead in radio by a factor of twice as much ahead in radio than Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. In terms of sales, See You Again is actually lagging behind Bad Blood.
Oh, interesting.
And then in terms of streams, See You Again is actually ahead of Bad Blood as well. So it's one of those things where you had that huge week last week, with the music video and the rush of sales, and Taylor eked out a win over Wiz Khalifa, because it was actually a fairly close race last week. Yeah. So this week, everything comes back down to earth. And despite the fact that Taylor has a big gain in terms of airplay, in fact, her song is the Greatest Gainer Airplay Award winner on our chart, because every week we award the greatest gainers in terms of airplay, sales, and streams. And this week, it's the greatest gainer in terms of airplay. Even though it has a big gain in airplay, it still needs to make up the difference between it and Wiz Khalifa. So now it's sort of just the rebuilding of the song. And we always see this. Every time there's a big debut, it has a big week, and then it kind of retreats, and then it usually builds back up. So, we will see if it goes back to number one, which has a fairly good shot of going back to number one in the next week or two.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, this goes back to the splashy music video. It could have been a moment in time when everyone was talking about this music video, and which premiered during the Billboard Music Awards. But it seems like this Bad Blood is going to sustain itself, especially thanks to the remix featuring Kendrick Lamar. Keith, I mean, touching upon See You Again, we've talked about it a ton on this Pop Shop podcast, but it seems like Furious 7 is basically out of theaters right now. And yet, See You Again is persisting. And you called it as the song of the summer. You think it's going to be there when all is said and done. I mean, you might be right. This song is just not going away, really.
I could be wrong. I may be right. I may be wrong. Who knows? It could be anything. I think
that there's some conviction behind that.
It could do anything. for what it's worth, Furious 7 is still in theaters. It's still it's not obviously at the top of people's minds in theaters anymore.
What's funny is I about half an hour ago I checked, and it like in the New York area, I've searched the area of lower Manhattan where our office is, and I think one out of the 10 closest theaters had Furious 7.
Well, as
so it's it, so it, it's it, I'm sure it's still around in other parts.
It's
of the
been out
country,
for 9 weeks. So it's been out for actually a long time, and especially in the summer season, for a movie to stick around for more than 2 months is kind of crazy.
So,
for what it's worth, it earned $1 million last weekend at the box office in the United States and Canada, and was playing on 963 theaters. Comparably, San Andreas, the brand new movie that came out last weekend, was playing in 3,777 theaters. So a little bit different. I think the song has just transitioned into a song that exists without the film, as I think it did a long time ago. It is just a sentimental song that people like now. It will forever be linked to Furious 7, but at the same time, it can exist on its own.
Totally agree, man. It'll be interesting to see.
Now. You agree now, but you didn't agree a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about summer songs. It's going to fall off a cliff when no one's watching Furious 7 anymore.
When we were talking about Song of the Summer, I just thought that it didn't have that kind of momentum and it was going to drop off a cliff.
Don't deny the Puth. He's got really good skin. I always talk about good skin every week on the show. Charlie Puth has good skin.
I live by one rule in my life, and it's don't deny the Puth.
Don't deny the Puth. We really need Charlie Puth on the podcast. We need some Puth on the podcast.
Let's get Charlie Puth on the podcast. We've had some cool guests, but let's do it, man. We got to get him on here.
Puth, if you're listening, feel free to tweet us.
Charlie, come on.
Come on, Charlie.
More Hot 100, man. The Weeknd debuts at number 20 this week with his new track, The Hills. This is what
I hear. They have eyes. No, they don't. Not this song, right?
Oh,
debuts at number 20. I apologize.
Slay me.
Yes.
that really got to me. So yeah, he's at number 20 this week. It seems like this is the first single from his forthcoming album, the follow-up to Kissland, the hilariously titled Weeknd album from a few years ago.
Why is that hilarious? Why is Kissland hilarious?
Kissland? I don't know. I just always thought that was really funny.
Kissland. Welcome to Kissland.
Welcome to
where
Kissland.
Where every ride ends with a kiss. It's like an amusement park, you know? Get it?
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just always thought that was a wacky title. But anyway, man, The Weeknd, we've talked about him a bunch recently because of Earned It, which was from the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. Talked about him around Coachella time when he became the Saturday night headliner. He closed out the main stage after Jack White. Just seems like this guy is just a legitimate superstar now.
Is he like sort of the male quasi R&B Lana Del Rey?
No, I think he's bigger than Lana Del Rey.
Well, no, in terms of the kind of aesthetic, like the kind of sort of like the execution of sort of like the visuals and the mystique and the kind of like the cool Tumblr generation vibe that he's got. Like, is that it remotely similar to sort of Lana's vibe?
Oh yeah, for sure. No, it's a great comparison, especially because of, like you said, the mystique. Those are two figures who don't typically do too many interviews, and when they do, they never really reveal too much about themselves. They like to kind of exist in the shadows, and their music also has that kind of smoky feel where it's drawing in you into this like neo-noir type of vibe. It's very interesting to see how much success they've had with that. Both of them kind of exist as throwbacks, Lana Del Rey a little bit more so, but yeah, it's and they play so well to live audiences. If you've ever been in a Lana crowd or a Weeknd crowd, people
I'd
just
be very afraid.
Lose.
No.
Yeah, no. People just lose their minds, especially like I remember I saw The Weeknd a couple years ago, and I didn't really. I had always been a fan of The Weeknd because his first mixtape, House of Balloons, which came out in 2011, is just incredible. I don't think he's topped it since, but you know, I've always kind of enjoyed his stuff, and I saw him at Radio City, and I was like, this seems kind of big for The Weeknd. I don't know. And then I watched, and people just lost their minds. Like, you know, everyone's, you know, if you go to an artist's concert, people are going to be passionate, but they were going nuts at, like, you know, that thing where like the first like two chords of a song plays and people just know exactly what it is, and they just howl like mad. It was like that. It was bonkers.
Hmm.
But anyway,
yeah,
The Weeknd.
Doing well with those hills. They have those eyes.
They have those eyes. I think that
these
I
eyes.
Guess,
you
I guess
know,
it,
you don't
this
know that
is,
song either, do you?
These eyes. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know what that is, but
I forget the name of the singer. It's No, I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on, let me look it up because this is now confounding me. It's like
while you're doing that, I'll put a bow on my Weeknd discussion, which is just to say
just
a one sided discussion. It's just me.
Top 10 hit for the Guess Who. These eyes. Continue. Sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think people are going to be a little bit surprised when The Weeknd's next album comes out and it sells a boatload of copies because he's just a huge deal now.
Yeah, well, and he's also got that kind of like album artist appeal aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, hey, yo, I like my tracks. Buy my tracks.
Well,
I don't know what that accent
that?
Is.
I don't even know who that is.
Buy my tracks.
Your voices are getting better.
Stupid.
I will say that.
They're that better. That's word. I like good word. Good.
Speaking of tracks that are doing well, as always, man, we got to do the cheerleader watch. My pick for song of the summer. Where does Omi move up on the Hot 100 this week?
Oh my. Omi. moves 27 to 16 on the Billboard Hot 100.
27 to 16. It's number 16 now. Oh man,
yeah.
It won't be denied. The cheerleader is just gonna be the song of the summer, and gonna revel in it.
Yeah.
I heard it a bunch while I was in New Orleans too, and I was like, yeah, New Orleans knows what's up.
I like the way, like, New Orleans just like, yeah, I have to go to New Orleans to find out what's really happening in music. You know, we were having a conversation about this song yesterday. Well, Gary and I were, and Gary Trust, and some other
Gary
charts
Trust
folks.
Of the Billboard charts department.
Yes,
in case people don't know.
Other co-director of charts. And I was joking. I'm like, we should riff on how, you know, OMD, you know, like working at OMD reference, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, with If You Leave, Don't Leave Now. And then someone else said, oh, what about OMC? You know, how bizarre.
And then there's MOP, Annie Up.
But that's not an OM. You have to start off with an OM.
Oh, all right.
So OMC, OMD, OMI, OMI. And then there's a whole record label called OM Records, OM Records.
Yeah.
So we got into this like crazy OM. And then don't forget the Benedictine monks of Santo Domingo de Silos with the chant album OM. This is really what we actually talked about yesterday. I'm not making this up. I'm like, oh, I look forward to a Chartbeat article online about the magical connections of OM.
Well, I don't think any OM chants are going to be appearing on the Hot 100 anytime soon. But
hey, you never know.
These couple songs are not in, they're in the lower reaches of the chart, but they could be moving up into the top 40 soon enough. That is why we call this segment Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, we have two Soon to Be Hits this week. We usually have two or three. We have two this week. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can go first.
Go for it, man.
So I'm talking about Shaggy. Yeah, man.
Shaggy.
Okay, anyway, Shaggy. You remember Shaggy, right? From It Wasn't Me fame. And
how could I forget?
Angel
fame. How could anyone? Angel and It Wasn't Me were the jams of all jams.
Yeah,
anyway,
It Wasn't Me. Of course it wasn't me. You have me on film. It couldn't possibly have been me. So Shaggy, who has been off the Hot 100 chart since 2001 when he hit number one with Angel. It's been that long. He returned to the Billboard Hot 100 chart a few weeks ago with a new song called I Need Your Love. This week it jumps 73 to 66. It's actually an airplay hit. The song kind of has the vibe that you would expect it to have. It sounds like a Shaggy song. It sounds kind of like that Caribbean-y kind of Latin flair that is kind of making inroads at pop radio in the past few years, you know, with songs like by people like Enrique Iglesias, where you're bringing in kind of Latin rhythms that are kind of like Spanglish type songs that are making, you know, headway on pop radio. So Shaggy's song, I Need Your Love, actually features three other artists, and I'm going to mangle their names.
Nice.
Mohambi, Fadi, and Kosti. There actually might be a fourth person on it. The field just isn't large enough in my charts system. But anyway, Shaggy's back on the Hot 100. The song sounds like it's a hit. It's moving up the charts. I look forward to seeing Shaggy maybe hitting the top 40 in the next week or two.
Pretty crazy. What year was that when it wasn't me? Was it 2000 or 2001?
I think it was 2000. I will tell you in just a second. It debuted in 2000, but hit number one in 2001. So yeah, in 2001, he had two singles, hit number one, and then he vaporized from the Hot 100 until this year with I Need Your Love.
You know what was cool about that year, and I remember it distinctly, was It Wasn't Me was a big hit, I think in the early part of the summer, and basically It Wasn't Me, for those who don't remember that song, it's almost like a Deny Till You Die song, where it's like, the one guy is, oh, my girl caught me cheating. And Shaggy's like, oh, deny it. And then later that summer, Blue Cantrell came out with Hit 'Em Up Style, Oops, which it was basically like a response song. It wasn't actually a response song, but like the way that it kind of played out, it because that whole song is about like, oh, you caught your guy cheating and now you're going to go to the store and spend all his money. So I always thought that was kind of cool. It was like a call and response, even though they were never intended to be.
I wonder how Blue Cantrell's doing right now.
I typically wonder how Blue Cantrell is doing right now. Keith, another soon-to-be-hit this week is Stitches by Shawn Mendes, friend of the Pop Shop podcast. His new single. They've used it number 89 on the Hot 100. Now, Shawn Mendes is no stranger to the Hot 100. Life of the Party debuted in the top 40 last year, kind of introduced a lot of people to Shawn Mendes. And then Something Big, the first single from his debut album, Handwritten, also snuck onto the Hot 100. But as you pointed out, Stitches is the first song that it looks like it's going to crack the pop songs chart. And finally looks like he has an airplay hit. Shawn Mendes is an artist that is huge on social media, but has never really had anything resembling a radio hit. Stitches, which I think is one of the best songs on his Handwritten album, could get there. I guess we'll see in the next few weeks.
We will.
He's also also worth mentioning, he's going to be on tour with Taylor Swift, which is never a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
So
it's
Shaggy,
not a bad blood thing. Hey.
Ooh. Shaggy and Shawn Mendes, those are two soon-to-be hits. All right, man, let us swivel over to the albums chart. That's right, the Billboard 200, where there is a new number one. We talked about it a little bit last week. A$AP Rocky, ALLA, at long last A$AP, debuts at number one. You wrote about it a ton this week, Keith.
Yeah, is that what I should be calling it? ALLA? Is that the approved acronym for this song, at long last A$AP?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Ala.
Sort of. It's ALLA, and then, but it's interchangeable.
People like to confuse titles when they put them out, and there's a lot of punctuation, lots of all caps. So this is At Long Last, A$AP by A$AP Rocky. Debuts at number one. It's his second number one album. Both of his studio albums have debuted at number one on the Billboard 200. Started with 147,000 units, of which 117,000 were traditional album sales. The rest of his points this week were comprised of song equivalent albums and streaming equivalent albums, as we do on the Billboard 200, because it's a consumption chart, not just a pure sales chart. That said, this is actually the sixth rap album to be number one in 2015. Yeah. A year ago at this point, we only had two rap albums hit number one, though it is important to note that last year, the Frozen soundtrack was number one for most of the first half of the year, so there wasn't exactly a lot of changeover at the top of the chart. But this year, I think it's notable that we've had so many rap albums at number one, and also overall rap album sales are actually up this year compared to where we were a year ago. Which is helped to a certain degree by successful albums by Kendrick Lamar and Drake certainly are helping lift the overall rap waters, so to speak. Number one, A$AP Rocky this week on the Billboard 200.
Yeah, meanwhile, another hip-hop album by Boosie Badass debuts in the top five.
Formerly known as Lil Boosie.
Of course. And Hillsong United also debuts, I believe, at number five on the Billboard 200 chart.
Yep. Best sales week ever for Hillsong, the megachurch that you may not be familiar with because they don't exactly have top 40 radio hits. But if you are a fan of like Christian sort of gospel music, that world, this is one of the biggest names in Christian music. So, yeah, number five with Empires. It's a pretty big debut and their best sales week ever. It sold 47,000 copies.
And Billboard's own Stephen Horowitz wrote an awesome piece about Hillsong United that ran in the magazine a couple weeks ago. Really spent time with them. We'll link to it in the podcast post, but definitely give that a read. It's really, really fascinating. All right, Keith, let's move on to next week's Billboard 200 albums chart, where it seems like the two big album releases this week seem to be Jason Derulo. He's back with Everything Is Four, has a top 10 hit with Want to Want Me. And then you have Florence and the Sheen. How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful, that group's third studio album, both out June 2nd. And is this going to be a race to number one? Is it going to be a competition, or one is greatly outweighing the other? What's going on?
Well, you already know the answer to this, so I can't play the guessing game with you. Florence and the Machine, from all indications, should debut at number one on the Billboard 200 with probably over 130,000 units overall. Jason Derulo will not be likely in the running for number one. He's quite a good chunk behind. I don't have a specific forecast for him, but I do know that it's quite a bit behind, so he should not be a threat for number one. So yeah, Florence and the Machine should get their first number one album on the Billboard 200 chart next week.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because I am a little bit surprised that it's not going to be any kind of race, because you don't think of Jason Derulo as the traditional albums artist, but there's been a concerted effort to get him there. There's definitely much more fanfare around this album than in any other Jason Derulo album.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think that the last album, Talk Dirty, really kind of set him up to be a much bigger star, you know, after Trumpets and Talk Dirty and Marry Me, and there's another hit or two from that album.
Wiggle.
But I think so all that, I think, in theory, was supposed to set him up for this album. But the thing is, he's still coming across as a track artist that is not, I don't think he's really connecting with people on a larger level. And I think that's the problem with a lot of kind of, you know, top 40 mainstream artists that are very like dancey track oriented, where, hey, they sound great on top 40 radio, maybe I'll buy that track, but you're not really getting people to want to spend more money on you. And yeah, I'm fascinated by it too, because I certainly thought that he would have had a bigger week. But hey, you never know. Things can always change between now and the end of the week.
Yeah, of course, forecasts can always grow. It is interesting because, especially with all the guests on this album, you have Stevie Wonder and Keith Urban and Meghan Trainor, and
clearly
Jennifer
they all
Lopez
thought that he was, you know, leading up to something bigger too.
Yeah, it's curious that, you know, again, maybe he's just forever a track artist, and a lot of those tracks are doing really, really well. And I don't know. It's a little bit surprising, but maybe it's just that maybe it's also hard to get people to really get on like the Jason Derulo boat since he's been around for so long. You know what I mean? Like maybe people are paying more attention to him, but I think there's a big difference between paying attention to someone and supporting them with either downloading or buying an album.
Yes, all those things I agree with.
So Keith, before we move on to our Jess Glynn interview, let's talk very briefly about one of the biggest news stories of the week. Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair, and just the worldwide reaction to this story. I mean, obviously a huge deal in terms of what it means for the LGBT culture, and just seeing this outpouring of acceptance by so many artists, and then you have some of these knuckleheads making news by not being so understanding.
Gotta love the knuckleheads out there.
Gotta love the knuckleheads. I mean, you have Timbaland said something a little unsavory.
Yeah.
And then
tried to backtrack and, like, you know, sent 10 or 15 tweets trying to explain himself.
And then Drake Bell, of former Nickelodeon fame,
stepped in it really effectively.
Yeah.
I'm going to still call him Bruce.
Yeah.
Really,
and
dude?
There was outside of the music world, just briefly, I saw one of the players on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are in the NBA Finals now, J.R. Smith, called Caitlin a science project, which is the most horrible thing to say ever. Keith, like, why are these people being idiots, I guess, is my question.
Well, a couple hot takes, as Jason might say.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting that Drake Bell, who is basically, he's known for being one half of Drake and Josh, which is a Nickelodeon TV show a long time ago. I thought it was interesting that the other half of the show, Josh Peck, tweeted something that was very nice and basically like favorable on the day that the Vanity Fair cover came out. Basically, like, you know, live your dream, you know, shine bright, something very, you know, nice. The same time that, you know, silly Drake decided to say something dumb. And then he took the tweet away. Drake Bell took the tweet away and then like tweeted something else saying, oh, you know, it's great, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, it's too late. And then, you know, what Timbaland did was he shared an Instagram photo of a meme that was going around, because some people listening may not know what was happening. Timbaland shared a meme where It was a screenshot or a video from Coming to America, the movie that Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall starred in a long time ago. And there was a specific scene in that movie set in a barbershop where Eddie and Arsenio played barbers, like old man barbers, like saying a lot of sort of dumb things. And they were talking about Muhammad Ali and saying, you know, how he changed his name. And, you know, he's really Cassius. And they're like, you know, his mama named him Cassius. I'm going to call him Cassius. And, you know, it was like, you know, sort of like a bunch of dumb old guys having like an ignorant conversation. And then someone changed that clip and also changed the screenshot to be like, I'm going to call him Bruce, you know, and with a screenshot of the actors from Coming to America. So Timbaland, so that's the setup. Timbaland shares this Instagram photo and then gets pissed off at the media, quote unquote, the media, for saying that Timbaland says that he's going to call, you know, Caitlyn Jenner Bruce. And he's like, that's not what I said. You know, I was just sharing a meme. And I'm like, all right, one, anytime anyone shares a meme, there's an implied endorsement of said meme, whether you like it or not.
Totally agree.
So one, you should have realized that. Two, you just shouldn't say dumb things on social media, no matter who you are, unless you are prepared to have the wrath of people come back on you. So if you are a nobody on Twitter for the first time, or you're just some kid or some adult who's just joining social media, realize everything you say can and will be magnified. And if you are a celebrity, you should be even more careful about what you say, because it will all come back to haunt you. So if you don't have anything nice and positive to say, it will come back to hurt you. So just be careful, celebrities, when you start to speak and say dumb things.
And when we were talking about this offline...
Sorry, I ranted right there.
No, I agree with you. Just when I was talking about this offline with you about an hour ago, I was like... I don't think these people are being hateful. I just think they're being uneducated.
It's just ignorant. They're just ignorant things to say. You're just uneducated.
They have to realize that, like you said, they're celebrities. And you also I feel like you also kind of have to read. You kind of have to take the temperature of the room a little bit, which is to say that, like, if you say you see this outpouring of support for Caitlyn Jenner. And, you know, this is something that I'm not saying that, you know, you can't joke about something like some you can joke about it. But like, if you see this outpouring of support and you're Drake Bell and you're like, sorry, still going to call you Bruce.
Why are you even mouthing off and saying that?
It's like, what? But like, look around you, man. Like, what's going on? Like
realize that you are the one out of 100 that is saying something stupid.
That's exactly what I mean. It's just like, you can take a stand if you want. Like, you know, it's a free country, but like, just, you're going to look like an idiot.
Why would you even say that? Like, why are you going to be like, I'm still going to call him Bruce? Like, what was the purpose of that
tweet?
It's not
like Drake Bell knows this person, I assume. It's like, anyway.
When you are about to push the send button, you know, no matter who you are, and you're about to press that button, read it again. Now, are you sure? And what is the intent? Is the intent to get a quick laugh? Because that really isn't a good, you know, like, unless you're like really good at like making funny jokes and, you know, it's actually appropriate. Great. But what was the intent? And just think about it for a second. And I think the only thing that's good about this whole situation, and I'm sure there's lots of others that said dumb things too, is that now Timbaland and Drake Bell are having to think about what they did and why they did it. And maybe they're actually having kind of like a teachable moment where they're like, you know what? I didn't realize it was like a big deal that I'm not supposed to call him Bruce, you know, or her. I apologize. You know, maybe Timbaland didn't honestly know. And he just couldn't comprehend how this is actually a very significant deal to Caitlyn Jenner. So, you know, maybe he's, you know, maybe Timbaland's like, you know what? I didn't realize that's what it was. And I was just, you know, now I learned and we can all move on. And by the way, this is all related to music somehow, because Caitlyn Jenner was in Can't Stop the Music, the Village People musical.
I don't think that's how it's related to me. I think it's absolutely related to music, because we're talking about Timbaland.
And also because, you know, also because Timbaland and Drake Bell, but also to tenuously tie it further to music, you know, obviously Caitlyn's stepdaughter, Kim Kardashian, right? That is And husband is Kanye West. So it's all related to music, ish.
It all comes back to music. Yeah. Everything always comes back to music. Keith, we got to move on to our Jess Glynn interview. Jess Glynn, again, stopped by the Billboard New York offices earlier this week. She actually performed on the Today Show and Late Night with Seth Meyers this week, which was pretty cool to see. For those who don't know, she is a UK singer-songwriter who scored a top 10 hit in the US as the featured vocalist on Clean Bandit's 2014 hit Rather Be. And now she is prepping her debut album. It's called I Cry When I Laugh. Love that title. It's out in September, I believe. She's been touring. She will continue touring. She played Coachella. And her new single, Hold My Hand, which is, as you said, I think, Keith, you said it's popping up on the dance.
On the Hot Dance Electronic Songs chart. Yeah, it's in the top 25, I believe.
Yeah, it was number one in the UK for a couple weeks earlier this year, and now it's making its way to the US. So again, Jess Glynn stopped by the Pop Shop Podcast, and here she is. Jess Glynn on the Pop Shop Podcast of Billboard.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You have had an incredible year. The past 12 months for you have been unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious as to what's been the highlight for you, because there's so many different things you can go with. You won a Grammy. You had a top 10 hit. You had a number one hit in the UK. What's the most momentous thing that's happened to you?
I think the most kind of momentous thing, I guess, was probably Hold My Hand going to number one and staying at number one for 3 weeks in the UK. That for me was just such a moment, because the past year has been such a whirlwind of success and crazy times, and to have my own song go in at the top of the chart and kind of react in a similar way to everything else that I'd collaborated with, it felt special.
Yeah, I'm sure there's such a difference between being on a song with Clean Bandit, and that song was a global hit, but then having a hit under your name.
That's exactly it.
So it must be like, is it more gratifying? Is it just what, to be in front of that, on the top line of that marquee?
Well, Hold My Hand is a very personal song to me, and it means a lot to me, and there's a story behind it that's kind of going into the album, and it's, you know, the first kind of moment of the album. It's the first song that's like, you know, of the campaign. So for it to react like that, it's just so kind of warming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear that story. Tell me about Hold My Hand. Tell me about where this song, which is so infectious and so magnetic, comes from.
Basically, at the end of last year, I kind of had a little break from writing, and it was towards the end of the album. We're finishing it. And I kind of like lost a bit of inspiration. So I wasn't really writing. I wasn't in the studio. And that happens with everyone. And I got back in the studio with Janae, a girl called Jinjin, who I write a lot of my stuff with. And we were both going through similar anxieties, but different situations. And it was like one of those songs that came about from having somebody there. Yeah. And we were both that person for each other, to give one another a hug or hold hands or put cheek on cheek or something that would make you feel at ease and not scared and like you're okay. Yeah. And I think that's where Hold My Hand came from. We have our little things that we do that make each other laugh and like make each other feel, you know, good. And I think that it's so important in life to have those people around you, because when you're going through stresses and mad times, you need people to ground you and make you realize that everything's okay.
Let's talk about your album.
Okay.
So it's called I Cry When I Laugh.
It is, yeah.
Which I love. And is this something that, like, where did this title come from, and do you actually cry when you laugh?
So firstly, I cry when I laugh.
Okay.
It's a common fact of Jess Glynn.
Jess Glynn facts.
Well, yeah, like, I do, and that's kind of why I named it that. But also, the album's a journey for me and about me. It's a story of the past few years and what I've been through, what I've done, and all my experiences. So I always kind of wanted to call it I Can't Laugh because I like the title and it is a fact about me, yeah. And the album is about me.
Yeah.
And I just felt really fitting that the album is a journey and yeah.
The album's about you, like you said. What is something that people will find surprising about you by and be unlocked by listening to this album?
That I cry when I laugh? I don't know. I mean, I started writing this album, I don't know, like 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was going through a really awful breakup. And I was really, like, really low. And I think that the beginning of the process, I was in a bad place. But I didn't have a chance to really dwell on being heartbroken.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, see the light and work every day and not be sad. So the album kind of is about hope and has a really, like, positive message in it. And that's what I love about it. And I think there are moments on it of weakness. And I think, you know, nobody's perfect. And yeah. It's important to have that because it's all part of the story. Maybe people will be surprised by those moments because they've only heard the kind of upbeat, more drilling sounds.
Yeah.
So hopefully, yeah, they'll be taken aback by the soul, heart element to it.
How does it feel to revisit some of those moments? Because not only has a lot of time passed, but you've progressed so much in your career since those happened.
Well, yeah, it's weird. Like, I performed for the first time a song off the album last week or 2 weeks ago in New York, a song called Take Me Home, which is probably my most down song on the album. And I wrote it. It's a weird story, but yeah, I wrote it in a weird place, weird time. And so performing it then was really, whoa, yeah. It's hard, like, revisiting moments when you, like, have to get into it because singing a song's not just singing a song. It's something that's come from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you did it. You powered through.
I did it. I powered through. I finished it. I didn't cry.
I want to ask you about two of your hobbies, hidden talents, interests.
Okay.
Because I was very interested in this. So first of all, I know you're a huge soccer fan.
Yeah.
So what now? Your team is
Arsenal.
Arsenal. Okay.
We just won the FA Cup.
Hey. There you go. So I'm sitting across from you, and you're very calm, very yeah. serene. Do you go absolutely bananas during these games?
I get really tense. Like, yeah.
Do you like scream at the TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's really I annoy my dad a lot. Because if I'm watching at home, because I go to the game, well, I used to go more when I had time.
Yeah.
But I watch the football at home with my dad, and we're watching it, and he's really, like, into it. And I just, like, rah, the TV, and he's like, shut up.
I mean, I can't really picture that, because you're so, yeah. like I said, you're very calm. And
I know, I have a nut side to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I get very uptight. I get that from my mom.
Do you do you watch it with friends? Like, do you go to like, the bars and you go? Absolutely
I watch great? The so I've been on Voice Race.
Okay.
And I've had a whiteboard. So I went to the pub the other night with my mates that I live with, mm-hmm. and I watched the football with all the louts and lads and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I had my whiteboard and I'd written stuff on it and was like, whoa.
Oh wow. So you just yeah. took the time to write like capital W O O O O O. Wow. Yeah. Well you had your voice heard.
There.
Exactly. So the last thing I want to ask about is apparently you're into horseback riding.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that start? And I think that's really interesting.
I love it. As a kid, I love animals and I loved horses. And I started horse riding when I was in do you call it preschool?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. like that's too
like elementary old. School
so like 8, 9
yeah like elementary.
Okay, so in elementary school with my friend we started horse riding, and then I rode all through school. I'd go like on the weekends,
yeah,
and then I like kind of loaned a horse, got a horse. It's like, yeah,
wow,
it was really fun. So I miss it a lot. I haven't done it in years.
Oh really?
Yeah
I was gonna ask like how like,
it's been a while.
It...
I love it though. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's one of those things where when I have time, when I have the right place, and when I'm in the right place in my life, I will have at least one horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your horse named?
Dilly.
Lovely.
Yeah,
lovely. What is our horses your favorite animals?
I don't know. They're very lovely creatures.
Yeah.
Because like I used to just go and like hang out with her. I'd just go and sit there and be like, you're right. They're really calming animals. Like you can do that.
So you'd go and like brush them and do all yeah. the okay.
And they like sit like so they have like their bed and they're like I had like sawdust whatever you put them in and what have you. And I was I'm a very clean person, so I kept her very clean. And I'd just go and chill in there. When like my parents would piss me off, I'd be like, right, I'm going
it's
to the
time
horse.
To hang with the horses. Yeah. That I had no idea. I feel like you should incorporate this into your live show. Like if you
what,
play,
get a
like,
horse on stage.
Yeah,
or?
Just get a horse on stage. Like how crazy would that be?
Do a Katy Perry.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. I'm gonna
something to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
Jess Glynn, this is great.
Thank you so much.
First time by Billboard.
Oh, thank you.
So once again, I Cry When I Laugh is the Jess Glynn album. It is out in September, I believe, and can't wait to hear more of that. I've heard some songs. They are absolutely stellar. And yeah, thanks again for stopping by, Jess Glynn. She actually, Keith, she was actually the first person that we've had in terms of celebrity on the Pop Show podcast that made a point of saying like, oh, I'm gonna listen to it when it's on.
Oh, no.
Hi, Jess. Hey, Jess Glynn. We'll actually see if she listened to it. But until then, Keith, it is time, man, for your chart set of the week.
I think that might be the first time I actually did the chart set of the week music.
That was great.
Correctly. So this week, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably already have seen a little bit of what I'm about to talk about. And if you don't follow me on Twitter, well, that's okay, too. So this week, 30 years ago, Heart debuted on the Billboard Hot 100 with What About Love? So why is this important? Okay, so Heart, which is primarily Ann and Nancy Wilson, the sister duo, who is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, inducted a few years ago, they started an incredible kind of second act to their career. 30 years ago, with the arrival of What About Love on the June 1st, 1985, dated Billboard Hot 100 chart. The song would eventually go to number 10 in August that year, and it was their first single for Capitol Records. And previously, the group had been on Epic and Portrait Records and on Mushroom before that, and they had big rock hits like Barracuda and Magic Man and Crazy on You. But by the early 80s, they had kind of fallen out of favor, and things were not going incredibly well for the group. They signed with Capitol Records, and then they got songs from outside songwriters, which was kind of a big deal for them because Ann and Nancy write a lot of their own material. So in 1985, they came back strong with their self-titled album, spun off a whole bunch of hits. What About Love, Never, their first number one with These Dreams, Nothing at All. They had four top tens off from that same album. Then they came back even stronger with the next album called Bad Animals, which had the huge number one, Alone, which spent 3 weeks at number one. I mean, it was incredible how they really went from, you know, this rock act from the 70s to this kind of like, you know, glitzy, glamorous, like, you know, lots of sex appeal and like leather and lace type band in the 80s. And, you know, they've talked about this in the past. Where they've talked about how they kind of had to kind of, in a way, sell out. And I don't know if those are the exact words they talked about. But, you know, they got songs from outside songwriters, and those became big, huge hits. And, you know, they were able to, you know, stage this huge comeback. And, you know, they're still on tour. They're playing shows. They're playing the Hollywood Bowl this summer. And they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I just thought it was so cool because, honestly, I became a fan of Heart because of this material, and then I discovered their earlier material after the fact. And I think there's a lot of people like that, too, where they learned about Heart because of their 80s material and then became familiar with their stuff from the 70s after the fact. So anyway, that's kind of a long-winded chart set of the week. It's all about Heart staging a big comeback 30 years ago this week with What About Love on Billboard Hot 100.
Love it, man. That is your chart set of the week.
Man, that was long. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I liked it. I love Heart.
I know. It was so cool. When I covered the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple years ago, when they had the induction ceremony here in LA, Ann and Nancy were on the carpet, and I talked to them, and I was like so stoked to talk to them. It was just such a thrill because they're awesome. So there you go.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. When was it in LA?
Well, whenever they are inducted. So I want to say like 3 years ago. It was the same year that John Fogerty was there, and it was the year that what's the name of the Canadian band that escapes me? That has like a really devoted fan base, and I forget. Oh boy, I'm dumb. Anyway, never mind. But yeah, it was like 3 years ago.
That's cool, man. Well, that is going to do it for us at the Pop Shop Podcast. Tune in next week, as always. And Keith, we got some cool stuff coming up. I think we might do an Ask the Pop Shop in the next week or two. I'm feeling it. You feeling it?
I always feel the Ask the Pop Shop vibes. I encourage the Ask the Pop Shop.
I think maybe next week. Maybe next week. Maybe. We'll see. Keith, do you have any parting words?
I do not.
All right, let's listen to Alone by Heart. Thanks for listening, and take care.